Chapter 10, The New Social Contract. The Old Social Contract. The old social contract was built around work and growth. People worked. They earned wages. They paid taxes. Governments provided public services and social protection. As the economy grew, wages and living standards could rise alongside it. For much of the industrial era, this arrangement worked remarkably well. It helped create the modern middle class, reduce poverty, and deliver extraordinary improvements in living standards. But its foundations are becoming less secure. Automation and artificial intelligence can increase output while reducing the amount of human labor required. Productivity can rise without wages rising proportionally. Meanwhile, slower population growth, resource constraints, and environmental limits make perpetual economic expansion increasingly difficult to assume. The old contract therefore faces two pressures at once: less certainty that everyone will have a traditional job, and less certainty that the economy can grow indefinitely. The productivity economy requires a new social contract, one designed for an economy in which productivity can continue rising even when employment and material growth do not. The foundations of the new social contract. The new social contract rests on three principles. 1. Productivity, not perpetual growth. The objective is to improve the economy rather than simply expand it. Efficiency, innovation, technology, and better use of resources become measures of progress alongside conventional economic output. 2. Sharing, not concentration. Productivity gains should not automatically flow only to the owners of capital and technology. The productivity dividend provides a mechanism through which a portion of those gains can be distributed broadly. 3. Participation, not dependence. People should have the security to participate in society, even when traditional employment becomes less reliable. Participation can take many forms: paid work, entrepreneurship, education, caregiving, volunteering, creative activity, and civic contribution. The new social contract therefore changes the question from, do you have a job? To, how can you participate and contribute in a productive society? The productivity dividend. The productivity dividend is the financial foundation of this new arrangement. It provides citizens with a share of the gains generated by increasing productivity. Unlike conventional welfare, it is universal rather than targeted only at people who meet particular income or employment conditions. That distinction matters. A universal dividend treats citizens as participants in the productive economy rather than recipients of charity. It can provide three things: security, an additional source of income when employment is unstable; opportunity, greater freedom to retrain, study, start a business, care for family, or pursue other productive activities; dignity, recognition that the gains of technological and economic progress should be broadly shared. The dividend does not replace work. It changes the relationship between work and economic security. As machines become more productive, society can choose to use some of the additional value they create to give people greater security rather than simply demanding more output from fewer workers. The productivity bond. The productivity bond provides the financial foundation for the same social contract. It links sovereign financing partly to productivity rather than relying entirely on fixed financial claims. The objective is to align the interests of investors, governments, and the productive economy. When productivity improves, investors participate in the gains. When productivity weakens, the variable component of the government's financing burden can decline. But as the simulations showed, the design must prevent higher payments in good years from creating an accumulating debt burden. Principal adjustment or debt management safeguards may therefore be necessary. The bond is not a social program. Its role is financial, to make sovereign debt more closely connected to the economy's capacity to generate value. The productivity dividend then provides the mechanism through which a portion of that broader productivity gains can reach citizens. Together, the two instruments connect finance, productivity, and distribution. Education and training. A new social contract cannot rely on income distribution alone. People need the ability to participate in an economy that is changing rapidly. Education therefore becomes more important, not less. The education system should emphasize capabilities that complement increasingly capable machines. Critical thinking, creativity, problem solving, communication, collaboration, adaptability, and lifelong learning. Training also needs to become more flexible. In a rapidly changing economy, learning cannot end when formal education ends. People may need to change occupations, acquire new technical skills, or work alongside technologies that did not exist when they entered the workforce. The principle is simple. If technology changes continuously, education cannot remain a once-in-a-lifetime event. The productivity dividend can provide part of the financial foundation that makes lifelong learning more practical. Social support. A stronger social contract still requires essential public services. Income support alone cannot guarantee security. Healthcare, housing, education, disability services, aged care, and other social services remain important components of a functioning society. The productivity dividend should therefore complement, not automatically replace, existing social institutions. Its purpose is to create a broad economic floor beneath citizens, while public services provide the infrastructure needed for a productive and secure society. The precise balance would depend on each country's existing institutions and fiscal capacity. The meaning of participation. The transition to a productivity-driven economy also changes the meaning of work. Paid employment will remain important. People will continue to want the income, purpose, relationships, achievement, and identity that work can provide. But work may no longer be the only recognized form of economic contribution. Caregiving creates value. Volunteering creates value. Education creates value. Community participation creates value. Entrepreneurship creates value. Creative work creates value. Citizenship creates value. A society in which machines perform an increasing share of routine production has an opportunity to recognize these contributions more fully. The objective is not to make people economically irrelevant. It is to give people more freedom to decide where their human effort creates the most value. The role of democracy. A new social contract cannot simply be designed by governments, corporations, or financial institutions and imposed on everyone else. Its legitimacy must come from democratic institutions. The governance of the productivity economy should therefore be transparent in its measurements, accountable in its decisions, independent where technical integrity is required, and democratic where collective choices are being made. This is particularly important for the NPR and the productivity dividend. If productivity determines financial returns and public distributions, the measurement system must be trusted. The statistical agency must therefore be protected from political manipulation, and its methodology must remain open to independent scrutiny. Democracy is not an accessory to the productivity economy. It is part of its infrastructure. The role of trust. No financial system can function without trust. Investors must trust the measurements. Citizens must trust the distribution system. Businesses must trust the rules. Governments must trust the institutions administering the system. That trust cannot simply be declared. It has to be earned through transparency, independent auditing, predictable rules, and consistent performance. The productivity economy therefore requires institutional credibility as much as financial innovation. A clever formula is not enough. If people do not believe the number, they will not trust the bond. If investors do not trust the contract, they will not buy it. If citizens do not trust the distribution mechanism, they will not support it. Trust is the connective tissue of the entire system. The new social contract. The new social contract is built around a different relationship between technology, productivity, and prosperity. The old model effectively says, work to wages to consumption to growth to prosperity. The emerging model can add another pathway. Productivity to shared gains, to income to participation, to prosperity. Work remains part of the system, but it is no longer the only mechanism through which people participate in economic progress. Technology can increase productivity. The financial system can capture and measure part of that improvement. The productivity dividend can distribute a portion of the gains. Education and training can help people adapt. Public services can provide the foundation for security. Democratic institutions can ensure that the system remains accountable. That is the new social contract. It does not promise that everyone will receive the same outcome. It promises something more fundamental. That progress should not leave people behind simply because the machines became better at producing. The productivity economy is therefore not just a new way of financing government debt. It is a proposal for a different relationship between productivity and society, one in which technological progress can create greater security, greater opportunity, and greater freedom rather than simply greater concentration of wealth. The old social contract was built for an economy where human labor was the primary source of production. The new one must be built for an economy where human intelligence and machine intelligence increasingly work together to create value. And the central question is no longer whether technology will make us more productive. It is, what will we do with the productivity it creates?